Because we are in the octave of the Immaculate Conception, today I would like to speak to you about our Blessed Lady. The Immaculate Conception is the house that God built for himself. Part of the decree of the incarnation, that is God's decision in our own human way of putting it, to become man, that the second person of the Blessed Trinity should become man, part of that decision was the Blessed Virgin Mary. Just think of an architect who is designing a magnificent church. He designs with that, as an integral part of that, the foundation. And so Our Lady was an integral part of this design of God, of the Incarnation. And so she is not something accidental to the Incarnation or accessory or added on. She is part and parcel of it because she is the Mother of God. And according to the plan of God, therefore, the Incarnation was impossible without her. And this is why the angel Gabriel came to her and proposed to her the idea of being the Mother of God, to seek her consent. So God planned the Blessed Virgin Mary in the same way that he planned the sacred humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just as he planned a perfect humanity in Christ, that was full of grace and truth, as St. John's Gospel tells us, the Gospel that we read at the end of Mass. So he planned a perfect humanity in our Blessed Lady, also full of grace and truth, to be his mother. And that's why the angel said to her, full of grace, totally confirmed in grace from the beginning. God's hatred of sin is what required the Immaculate Conception. God so hates sin that the very thought that his Son could be received into a house which served at one time as the house of the devil through original sin, or which was stained with sin, was utterly unthinkable. That he could occupy the same house as sin once did. It was necessary that Our Lady be as far from sin and as free from sin as heaven itself is free from sin. And so God applied to Our Lady's soul the effects of the redemption in advance of the sacrifice of Calvary in order to prevent her from inheriting the stain of original sin which she should have inherited, except for this privilege, because she was a child of Adam. This act of God in planning the Immaculate Conception should remind us of the importance of grace. God, just as he planned the Immaculate Conception and by a special grace preserved our Blessed Lady not only from original sin, but also from all sin throughout her life, including venial sin, so God plans the sanctification of each soul that he intends to draw to heaven. It is a truth of faith that we cannot go to heaven unless God should draw us there by his actual graces. In other words, unless God should grant to us what theologians and the Church itself calls the grace of predestination to eternal glory, there is no way in which we can hope to go to heaven. God must draw us. He must help us there. He must see that we get there. And that is the grace of final perseverance, the grace, what we call, of predestination to glory. We should be humbled by this realization and understand our weakness and our inability in the greatest work of our existence, which is our eternal salvation. Of all of the things that we do, getting to heaven is the most important, indeed the only important thing. And it is in attaining heaven that we have the greatest weakness and the greatest inability. Think of a hospital in which you see people being helped down the hallway by a nurse or some sort of aide, where they're very weak, maybe they've just had an operation, and they take little steps. Indeed, the sick person is walking. It is their act of walking. But they are so held up by the person helping them and moved along by them that if that person were to let go, they would fall to the ground and could not get up by themselves. And so all of the force and the thrust of their movement comes from the person helping them. But nevertheless, they can say, I am walking. And so all of the force and the thrust of our movement to heaven is from God. And yes, we take the steps. We do meritorious acts. We work out our salvation by doing good works. But all of the strength of those good works, the inspiration for those good works, the perseverance in good works, comes from God, the grace of God. If He were to let go, we would fall to the ground and we could not get up again unless He pulled us up. That is the importance of grace. Now, we are not like robots. Grace is not like an electrical signal that moves us around as if we were inanimate things. We have free will. We cooperate with grace. But nevertheless, the main force of our good works is the grace of God from the beginning right to the end. And we should therefore be extremely grateful to God for the graces that we have received. What did Our Lady say to St. Elizabeth when she was describing, when St. Elizabeth was describing to her the great grace of being the Mother of God? What did she say? What are the first words of commentary of Our Blessed Lady upon the Incarnation? She said, Magnificat anima mea Dominum, my soul doth magnify the Lord. It was an act of thanksgiving, an act of humility in front of this tremendous, unspeakable grace of being the Mother of God. So also think of the circumstances of your birth. Think of your family, your baptism, your upbringing. Think even of the sins that you were permitted to fall into by the permission of God. Think of your subsequent repentance and confession. Think of your perseverance in the true faith today. All of these things which pertain to your salvation are in the plan of God. And just as Our Blessed Lady was so grateful to God for this great grace, so also you should be grateful to God for the graces that you have received. The lesson of the Immaculate Conception is purity of soul. That we maintain the the sacred vessel of our souls in the state of sanctifying grace. That should be the obsession of our lives, the obsession in the truest sense of the word of our every day, that we maintain this vessel which is at once sacred and fragile of our souls in the state of sanctifying grace, purity of soul. So many Catholics are complacent with a life of habitual mortal sin. They go from day to day, week to week, committing mortal sins. And yes, they come to Mass. Yes, they have the faith. But their life is a life of mortal sin. They received good training as children. But once they became adolescents, it is as if they were born in order to sin. It is as if they were anointed to sin for the rest of their lives. It is as if mortal sin is a normal way of life. And the truth of the Immaculate Conception and sanctifying grace becomes purely theoretical, something they memorized in their catechisms, but which has nothing to do with daily life. How many Catholics live that way? When you look at our Blessed Lady, the Immaculate Conception, understand that she was a religious, indeed a contemplative. Much of the art concerning our Blessed Lady does not portray her as a true contemplative. She is seen as an ordinary lady or girl that had a baby. And she was not an ordinary lady or girl that had a baby. She was a deep and high contemplative. Because with these great graces, Our Lady was unable to take her mind off of God. God was constantly on her mind. And anything else that she knew through Him. Anything else that she loved with a love of God, primarily. And she loved it in the way that God wanted her to love it, and to the extent that God wanted her to love it. She saw everything through the eyes of God, that is, with supernatural wisdom. So that's why she is called the seat of wisdom. She sees everything the way God sees it, because of these graces. And for this reason, the greatest and most perfect imitation of the Immaculate Conception is to give yourself over to God and to the things of God. And recently, many of you saw the ordination that took place in this church just about a month ago. That beautiful ceremony of a young man giving himself to God and to the things of God, as if to hand over to God one great Magnificat of his whole life, thanking God for the great graces that he has received, and giving himself as a holocaust every day to the service of Almighty God. And so I recommend to any of the young people in this parish that they think about that holy vocation, to imitate the Immaculate Conception in the greatest possible way. Because every priest and every religious, every brother, every nun, everyone who has given himself to the service of God in some way, whether now or in the past or in the future, they are the ones who have understood thoroughly just how pleasing the Immaculate Conception is to Almighty God. And they have understood the great value of the graces that God has given them. They have understood the great value of eternal salvation, eternal life with God. And they want to render to God in their whole lives one great act of love, contemplation, and service for the great graces that they have received from God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.